some reaction right now and about a game that maybe was a replica a little bit, not exactly, of what we saw on Friday, Nick. Mm-hmm. Still, again, almost the same words I used on Friday. Nashville finds a way to win games.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what Nashville SC is expected right now because of all the absences of the injuries. You read Baker Whiting, Patrick Asbeck, Warren Madrigal, Christian Espinoza, Ali Assad's not available yet. I think they're still waiting on that visa to come through. But you look at this team and say, kudos to them, a pat on the back. I mean, not Patrick Asbeck, but Brian Schwacki, once again, a clean sheet.
Big
saves. And that was something that I kind of wanted to highlight from the press conference is that we both even asked Brian about those little small saves that go underappreciated, and they come in clutch. They give them the 1-0 victory, give them the 3 points. It gives them that extra cushion that they can have in the Eastern Conference standings. I mean, now they're at 39 points. Yes, Inter Miami, they won this evening without Lionel Messi, but Luis Suarez once again turns back the clock, says, hey, I can still score goals.
Yep.
And then that creates more of a closer gap, but Nashville still prevail, get the win, and it's just a good feeling for them all.
There's no question. We can, like we always do, analyze the team almost one by one. But without Brian Schwacki, tonight's victory wasn't possible. That's one point.
Yeah, right, 100%.
I mean, 100%. Yeah. So he keeps being that keeper that we'll probably see. Hopefully, started in the MLX All Star game next week. But he keeps going being that great keeper. Is it too early to say that he's going to be probably the starter for a long time in the national team? If he keeps being like this.
Yeah, I mean, you have to give him a call-up. I mean, that's the only way to do it. I mean, he's been probably the most integral piece to this entire puzzle for this Nashville lineup. I mean, BJ Callahan mentioned it tonight. Brian Schwacki played a different bit of a role, and that was building out of the back and being involved in the offense. Obviously, tonight, Nashville, their style of attack was a little bit more stronger against Montreal. Let's be fair. Montreal, I don't think, was a strong enough team to really take on the pressure Nashville was able to press on them. So Nashville, with their back line, played a lot higher up. It was more at the midfield point, and they were able to cycle the ball around a lot better. And it just comes with the territory. And along with that, like, we both know that because Nashville is missing a lot of pieces, the depth has been minimal. There hasn't been much depth. So these players like Shaq Mohammed, even Ahmed Kasem in some sense, because, you know, he had a good World Cup run, carries that momentum into the second part of this season with the restart. There is some things you can take away from the first half of the season without some of these players that are playing right now and use it for their benefit.
I mean, don't take me wrong for what I'm going to say, but it would have been a big loss.
Sure.
If Nashville loses a game here against a team like Montreal. Montreal is just not there. It's a team in a rebuilding process that is going to take much longer, unfortunately, for the fans. But Nashville is a much better organization and team right now in terms of reaching goals.
Sure.
You know, Montreal might get him later, but not at this point. I don't think so. So one thing you have to kind of start analyzing, the back of the defender again, Bulletzi and Palacios showed it again that they are the couple. You know, nothing wrong against Mayors. We played a very good game. Sound game last game against Atlanta, but it's just something that chemistry between those two guys is so excellent that a few of the occasions that this team had possibilities tonight, they were always there. Willetti and Palacios for sure. Lobitz, he got a sound game.
I think you can say this about Daniel Lovitz, regardless of it being hot, cold, rain, sleet, snow, whatever. He always gives you the right minutes. And what I mean by right minutes, I mean you could put him out there with anybody, and he will always give you the same production, which is what's needed. Now, there may be teams out there that can be a little bit better than him at that position, but minus that, he always gives you the exact production you need.
I mean, anytime, and we're mentioning Lovitz right now, but anytime if you got to make me choose between two players, one that is up and down, I'd rather take Lovitz.
Oh, yeah.
At this level all the time.
It's Mr. Consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. You know what you're going to get out of him.
All the time.
I think a beautiful segue to this is let's look on the opposite side of the field, on the right back position, in Josh Bauer. I think we can give Josh Bauer a pat on the back. We both were talking about it in the press box.
True.
I think with the, let's say, because Andy Nahar is coming back from injury, BJ Callahan has kind of done this same method the last couple of games with Atlanta and now Montreal, and that's playing Josh Bauer to start. And then he goes to the 60th, 65th minute,
Andy Nahar slowly getting his minutes back underneath him, get his feet back underneath him, and finds the opportunities. And it's very prominent. We both know when Andy gets on the field, the pace of the game changes. The style of the game changes. But
even the coach said it in the press conference.
Exactly. But I think we need to give a guy like Josh Bauer his flowers. One, because he's been such a serviceable player at that right back position. It even dates back to last season during the U.S. Open Cup run when they played the Chattanooga team here, or excuse me, the Knoxville team here, and they went on. That was his tournament for the choosing. And two, I think we have to give the guy a little bit extra pat on the back. It's his birthday today. I mean, what a way to cap off a birthday by playing a game.
Again, with Bauer, with Bauer's a lot like Novitz, I agree with you. I mean, you know he's going to give you that 100%.
Sure.
His level will be fair. Most times, he might make a mistake here and there, like any other player. But most times, Josh Bauer will give you the type of game you're asking him to have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure the first guy to tell you that he had a great game tonight is the coach BJ Callahan. He probably said everything I asked him to do, he did it, and he did it fine. He did it correctly. That's for real. I don't know. Well, I mean, somebody could come back to me and say, well, but look at that. You already said that they're not facing a great team. Well, yeah. But still, he hasn't then made that big mistake against even a better team. So, I mean, the problem right now is we know that what Nahar brings to the table
sure.
is a little bit different in terms of what the offensive part of the game is. But in terms of what the right back can do and must do in any game, Bauer is just there.
Yeah.
Just up there.
And also, we already mentioned Palacios and Waleji, but because of those two players, those two on the left and right side, the being Daniel Lovitz and Josh Bauer, they do not excel at their position without those two in the mid.
Oh yeah, no.
Which is Waleji and Palacios.
Palacios.
Now, with that being said, the way Nashville played tonight, there were some improvements from the Atlantic game up to today. They were able to finally get that last pass. Like we saw against Atlanta, they struggled with that last pass in the attacking third. They could not get real clean and crisp. Tonight, we saw that. Obviously, there were some frustrations True. With transition in the True. First half, trying to get into the higher attack. I thought there were some opportunities where Nashville probably could have excelled in the left and right flanks with the wingers and Mohammed and on the left side with Muil. But the issue was because Sam Surge was pressing higher up, always having that high line, I don't think – I'll just put them as role players, the players that are kind of filling in for Espinoza and Madrigal right now. I don't think they get the true understanding of we need to press high up with Sam. Obviously, it leaves some pockets in the midfield a little bit, where there might be a technical goalkeeper that understands that, but you got to be up there with them. I think that's a big issue that Sam's trying to adjust to right now.
With Valer Chabela
with the 615
soccer. We were talking about it right. I'm not sure if it was before the game started or in the middle of the game, and we were saying how much it really does. It's just the truth, in our opinion, that how much this team is missing. Australian.
Patrick Jasbeck.
Patrick Jasbeck,
yes.
Especially at the level that he had before the World Cup break. Because the thing that at least I cannot find on the team that played on Friday and tonight, Nick, see if you agree or not with this, I cannot find that back and forth box to box that he was giving the team. And that's not easy because that's something that comes with the player.
Yeah.
That's something. Right now, the Nashville is kind of doing that by committee. Doing stuff like that in between Corcoran and
Taxeth.
Yeah, and Taxeth. Both of them are doing something that perhaps on one side of the midfield, Jasbeck was doing by himself.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. I mean, you really don't have anybody else who can do that. That's simple. I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, you say, well, let me think about who else can come in there and do that kind of work. Maybe, and we mentioned a little bit about
Charles-Emile Brunet.
Well, maybe he's not close to that, but maybe. I guess I would like to see him play more minutes to see how much of that particular part of the game that Jasbeck brings to the table he can do.
And, you know, that's been a trend for BJ Callahan with this Nashville SC side since he became the head coach. It's always been but there have been cases to, like, baptism by fire. We saw it last year. With, I'm forgetting the name, Wyatt Meyer. Yeah, obviously not with the club currently, but
True.
He was a utility player. They put him at left back, put him in midfield, defensive midfielder, all over the place. Matthew Corcoran last year, baptism by fire. They did the same situation with him. They knew he was a good center back, or a center mid, excuse me, but they knew they could play him at other positions. I mean, when they played Inter Miami last year, late in the season, they were forced to play him as a left back
True.
Because just the way that they were injury riddled. They didn't have the opportunity.
They had no choice.
So they put him as a defensive midfielder. Then they forwarded him into a more box-to-box role. Now, to your point of the current situation of the midfield, yes, I'm with you in the sense of I think Charles Mill-Burnett is a good player, young, quality player. I don't know if he's there yet. Like you mentioned before, and I'll let you bring it up, but I think there are the opportunities for him to really flourish going box-to-box and closing that space like you've mentioned before.
Well, I mean, the thing is that the part that I kind of brings me back to him is the fact that if a coach is not allowing you to play the minutes against these teams,
they're near the bottom.
How is that going to happen against the real top of the league or the East Conference for sure? I don't see it, and that's the problem because Nashville should actually. I mean, you mentioned Corcoran very well. When Corcoran started in those two games and everything. He did something that nobody expected. He's too young. He's a very young guy. But still, he's improving his game every so often. Sometimes it seems like he's getting back like the last game. We talked about it. And tonight, he kind of came back to more of what he does in the field. But then it's very difficult for Charles to actually do that if he's not getting more minutes. But I believe that he might be that position, that guy that maybe BJ will have to think about and say, well, how do I get this guy more involved in the minute time, in the minute, quota for the team to actually produce more when I don't have certain guys like
Patrick Jasbeck,
but Acosta. I mean, not Acosta, but Corcoran.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be a time that they need pieces like that to come back and actually be strong. And I don't know how to do that. How is he going to get that done without giving the guys more minutes?
It's interesting trying to dissect the profile of Charles Mill-Burnett. I feel like he has a tendency of like Eddie Tagseth, where he's quick and can close down space defensively in the middle of the field. But also,
we saw it in a couple of times today, at least.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think also, too, there is the affectability of not being able to be short-winded. We see that with Alex Moyle a lot. The guy has like 9 different lungs in his system. He never gets tired. I think the same thing for Charles Mill-Burnett. Yes, obviously it's a short sample size coming on around the 89th minute, give or take, because of the Matthew Corcoran and the cramping. But minus that, this is a team that needs that depth.
Would he get that chance? What do you think?
Do I think Charles gets a chance at all? Like,
I mean, what I mean by a chance is it's easy to say that a player is not good enough or didn't fit the system or whatever. That's fine. I'll take it in certain cases. But when you're not getting the minutes, people could say, well, that goes back to what the coach is seeing in the week during the work. Yes, I believe that.
Sure.
But at the same time, I've seen guys that when actually they get game rhythm, they can show exactly what they are instead of just practicing every day or being inspiring for more guys. For other guys, I mean.
I'll basically reference last season. If Charles had the opportunity to play in the U.S. Open Cup this year, kind of like what I mentioned with Josh Bauer, I think that's where you're going to see majority of those minutes for a guy like Charles Mill-Burnett.
You don't have it, though.
Obviously, you don't have that this year. And that was the big
thing. Could it be the Leagues Cup, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know. It depends on the mentality that Nashville wants to go into the League's Cup with. Because let's face it, the last two tournaments this season, which is the CONCACAF Champions Cup and the League's Cup, Nashville have not been fully healthy.
No.
That's been an issue for them. And so for them to be successful in MLS, to be able to rest their guys, good for them. But if they're really serious about winning a championship, and I this is something that's always harped on 1025 The Game when I'm on during the week, and Joe Dubin's the one that's mentioned this, win your league and then win all the other tournaments after that. I think that's the big emphasis there. Nashville's in a great position right now to be in the community. They are the Community Shield leaders right now. If they can hold on to that position and go into the MLS playoffs as one of the top teams to win it all, I don't see why they couldn't win MLS.
Nick, we station ourselves a little bit in the midfield because that's what their games produce most times. And I still don't have an answer for this. And we were kind of talking about it off microphone about the reason why Brian Acosta is not starting anymore all of a sudden.
Sure.
All of a sudden, I mean, because he was the one that actually came back and helped the team so well before the break in a very, very particular.
New England. He scored two goals, right? Yeah.
He not only his game playing there. I don't know what happened or might have happened that all of a sudden Brian Acosta seen only a few minutes again.
Well,
I mean, I don't know. I mean, that might be something that BJ might not want to talk about it. We'll see.
Sure.
But I think it's a piece that is missing also. Mm-hmm. Also, and he's healthy. That's the reason I'm putting him in the table tonight. He's right. Healthy. If he wasn't, then I don't even bring him. But he's there, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to think.
My only gut assumption, again, it's the assumption.
Sure. Yeah.
I would say it's fitness. And why would people be thinking, why would fitness be an issue in this case? Having 2 months off, basically 7 weeks off.
For some players,
that does basically relapse them back into preseason. Yeah. And like you've mentioned before, and BJ's mentioned, this is kind of like it's kind of like a preseason.
Yeah.
So for him, I think it's almost like it took him, how many games? About 7-8 games to get, back his feet back under him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the case. Or to your point about Charles Mill Brunette, where does he get his minutes? Same thing for Brian Acosta. Does Brian Acosta get his minutes in the Leagues Cup potentially?
Maybe.
And I think that's probably where you're going to see it because he's more the veteran player. They know when, kind of like Daniel Lovitz and Josh Bauer, if you put them in certain situations, you know what you're going to get out of them. I think the same thing for Brian Acosta. If Patrick Yazbek is back in time for the Leagues Cup, then that's probably where you see Tag Seth and Yazbek. And then you'll see off the bench maybe like a Corcoran and then maybe a Brunette / Acosta hybrid.
And then tonight we saw something that I was missing from the last game, and we discussed about it for a little bit. The fact that Nashville against Atlanta was not able to explode those pockets,
sure,
right in front of the other team's defense. Tonight we saw again a lot of not as good as always, but we saw much of that, a big improvement. I even asked BJ about it with the game that Zurich and Mokhtar were able to play tonight. And again, he was able to put, Zurich and Mokhtar
together,
close to each other, together. Whereas in the last game, you remember, we discussed that when Mokhtar has to stay back a little bit,
yes,
and start creating game. Not tonight, and the team look a lot better right going forward. Of course, the wall that Montreal put in front of them, it was difficult to that. And then at the end, we come back to Mohamed, Shakur Mohamed. He two games starting in the team. That's, I guess, that's a kudos for BJ for recognizing the effort and the goal he scored last time. And he even said that he's trying to make the guy improve in other things. Like he even said it, his same Shakur said the other day. And one of the things that he's missing from the game that is a must, not only on BJ's system, not only in professional soccer today, is the defensive side of the ball,
mm-hmm,
which he needs to really work on. He looked a lot better today. He looked better. He tried to do that effort. That's something he said he was going to do. I'm not going to say he's not even close to where he needs to be in that particular,
right,
part of the game, Nick. But it's very nice to see a young guy like him making the effort to actually improve game by game.
Yeah, he's making strides in the right direction for sure. And not only Shaq Mohamed is making strides, got to give flowers. I kind of mentioned earlier for a guy like Ahmed Kasem. Yes, he had some, ups and downs in the first half of the season. There have been some times where he's kind of been out of position, in my opinion. I don't know about you or not. But I think tonight he definitely put on an example that he can defend, especially with holding a 1-0 lead. I think he did a really good job with that after being subbed on.
Which was something he was doing with the Iraqi national team.
Yeah.
And he worked very well for them.
Absolutely.
Working out of position, but doing a lot of defensive work. BJ saw that already, and he knows he can do it. And as much as he can actually improve on that, he's going to get more minutes. The problem is not a problem. The issue I have in terms of defending, he doesn't need anybody to defend him, or Kasem, is that this is one player, and there are many like him, that needs to play. He needs minutes to get that rhythm. And some other players, they come off the bench and they can do a lot of things. Well, look at Nahar.
Yeah.
Look at Nahar tonight in the last game. Well, he's not a Nahar. They're different, but he needs more minutes.
It's like
to develop his game.
For the American football fan that was familiar with Derrick Henry's time with the Tennessee Titans,
yes,
it didn't take one or two runs up the middle.
No.
It took him about 10, maybe 12 to 13 carries to really get him going.
Yeah.
And I think that's the case for Ahmed Kasem. You're tuning up the band. You're making sure the oil in the car is fresh. That's what you need out of Ahmed Kasem. You need fresh oil.
Fresh oil. And he needs to play more minutes. Is he going to get him again? I don't know. I don't know because the team, the depth of the team is getting better on those positions right there in the middle up front, and that's difficult. It will be. It's all on him.
Yeah.
It's all on him, unfortunately.
Hopefully, obviously, BJ doesn't put timelines on the returns. We'll see what happens with that for guys like Espinoza, Madrigal, and Yazbek. Those are my big ones. Obviously, Reed Baker-Whiting is another injury, but again, We'll see where that takes place. I'm not too sure on that as well, but it's just interesting because, yes, he's not putting timelines, but there was, you know, BJ Callahan came on our airwaves probably 3 weeks ago on a Monday, and I asked him the question about before the restart. It was the day before the U.S. men's national team played Belgium in the round of 16. I simply asked, are certain players on the trajectory to come back to play? And it was Eddie Tagseth, Andy Nahar, and Patrick Yazbek. He mentioned that they're all on schedule. They're all on their right timeline. So, again, he didn't give much. But basically, not to categorize everybody, they're all on different timelines. I think it lines up with the story. There's nothing that's mispieced at all.
Now, there's a big question that even after victories comes to mind, at least to my mind. I think we're getting close to actually getting out of the stadium, right? Mm. It's late. But the big question is this team, the product that we're seeing in the field for the last two games against two top-end teams
in the MLS. Sure. Definitely
you got to say the truth. This is the truth.
I mean, this is a Montreal team that's recovering from, you know, getting rid of their head coach.
Yeah.
They have their assistant as their head coach.
Of course. And then you get the record speak by itself.
Right.
Anyways, but is this particular team, Nashville puts the product he's putting on the table again against this two team, enough as it is without getting the players back? I know getting the players back is key.
Enough to what degree?
Enough to the degree of actually being able to even win.
Just get wins.
Get wins.
I would say yes.
Away? I don't know.
All right, hang on. To get results. And what I mean by results, I mean draws.
Okay.
I would say yes. But Nashville is just in such a commanding spot. I wouldn't say commanding spot. They're in a decently comfortable spot right now in the Eastern Conference, being up, 5 points over Inter-Miami, 39 to 34 points in the standings. As long as they don't basically lose a match coming up, and that meaning Orlando, if they don't lose that one but they draw, I think Nashville's still in a comfortable spot. Hopefully, before the League's Cup, you see some players come back from injury, and that's Espinoza, Madrigal, and Yazbek.
I mean, I'm not sure. I wish we had the luck of players listening to what we talk about in these interventions, Nick. But they will probably say, I believe we can. They probably answer to me, I believe we can. And then I would probably say to them, I believe you. I believe they can. I mean, all the players that have played in this particular two games, I'm not going to say any names, they're capable of getting these victories. I don't care if it's one by half to zero, whatever it is, anywhere in the MLS, if they put their mind to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be easy. All the teams are coming up. It's going to be difficult, especially in certain situations. Orlando's already a big test because of the heat there. The team's good, all that stuff. Well, we'll see what happens. But in terms of returning back from after the World Cup break, Orlando becomes, in my opinion, the bigger test.
Yeah, they for sure become a bigger test because they have Antoine Griezmann from Atletico Madrid. I mean, that is the biggest test that you have. And I wouldn't say it's a test for Nashville's front line in being Sam Surge, Shaq Mohammed, and if it's Alex Moyle or Ahmed Kassem. I think it's more of a test for guys like Jason Palacios and Maxwell Beleji. And nonetheless, I don't think that's going to be too much of a difficult test for them just because they've been so stellar in the back line. And one name we really haven't even mentioned this entire time we've been dissecting tonight's match is Brian Schwaki.
Oh.
A guy that recorded his eighth shutout of the MLS season.
We said it.
Now he's only behind.
Without him, Nigel doesn't win.
Exactly. We didn't mention that, but I'm just saying I think it's a good way to close.
Yeah, yeah.
Because without him, they don't have any of this. And now he only trails Hugo Lloris for one game back of clean sheets that leads MLS with 9. I think that's something that should be highlighted after tonight.
I'm going to close with this, Nick, and you probably agree with me. If we had right here with Letzi and Palacio right now talking to us, and you mentioned the world, this player, the from Athletic.
Stellar?
Yeah.
Their style of play?
No. I'm talking about the they don't play in Orlando.
Oh, Antoine Griezmann.
Antoine Griezmann.
Yeah,
I don't know why I forgot that. If you tell him that they're going to have to mark up Antoine Griezmann, you are not going to see any fear at all. Quite the opposite.
You know what they're going to do?
Quite the opposite.
They're going to smile and laugh and say, we'll be ready.
Well, we'll be ready. You'll see.
They're true pros.
Oh, come on. The best thing that can happen to a guy like Daos, like Gulesi and Palacios, is put a player with the quality, which is great quality, of Griezmann in front of him for them to show even more of what they have shown so far this season.
I want to see Nashville this Saturday in Orlando
just eliminate Antoine Griezmann. And when I mean eliminate, I mean keep the ball out of his possession. Kind of what we saw in the World Cup final with Spain and Argentina. Spain just tactically decided to just pass the ball around Messi. He only had 20 touches in the first half. I want to see the same thing for Nashville. I think after what we've seen the last two games, they've been able to build up their confidence again, kind of like preseason, find a way to really grab passes and be clinical in the final attacking third. They can do that. They can get back to their old form before the break, and I think they're on the verge of that as well.
Well, I'm going to give you my pronoun on that. I believe Antoine Griezmann will feel and taste a little doses of what the MLS is. Yes. In the back four.
And this Saturday, for sure. Yeah, and I'll be interested to see what the starting 11 looks like for Nashville. Like you mentioned it up in the press box, the heat factor. What is the heat going to be like in Orlando?
Oh, wow.
Obviously, Andy Nahar has been off the bench twice now, Atlanta and now Montreal. I'm leaning in the direction that he'll come off the bench once again. Matt Corcoran, cramps late on in this game. There's going to be a heat factor in Orlando. I wouldn't be surprised to see Brian Acosta and maybe Eddie Tags has started in the midfield, have Corcoran come off the bench. And then maybe you look at the starting 11 at the top. I think start with Shaq Mohammed on the right. Then you have your one and only Sam Surridge. And then
Mukhtar.
Mukhtar, but also
Will on the other side.
I think Will because of just how he's able to really have a high stamina.
Maybe we get good news and some of those guys will come back for at least a couple of them or maybe even one.
Yeah.
It would be a great plus.
In due time.
All right.
My friend, as always, it's great.
It's a great pleasure talking to you.
Claudio Villalobos, Nashville Total Sports. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, 102.5 The Game here in Nashville. We appreciate everybody watching the Final Whistle Reaction. You want to hear the audio version of this, the Talking Calcio podcast on 102.5 The Game's podcasting platforms and on the website, 102.5 The Game Nashville. As always, we are covering Nashville SC for the market. We appreciate everybody watching and listening. We'll see you on the next one. Ci vediamo.
Nos vemos.